You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for joining us. Some analysts say President Obama has not come up strongly enough to condemn Israel's raid of the humanitarian ships to Gaza. Do you agree?
It's unclear exactly what the line of the American administration is, because a lot of what is going on in private. It seems that what the Obama administration is doing publicly is to give Israel some diplomatic cover in the United Nations and elsewhere, and expressing some sympathy with the Israeli position on Gaza, at the same time that in private what it is doing is pressing the Israeli government to ease up on some of the siege of Gaza. So it seems to be sort of acting as, I might say, sort of a big brother or a lawyer or a best friend, which is trying to convince the Israelis quietly to change their behavior a little bit. But exactly how much, we don't yet know.
Why are they doing this privately and quietly?
Well, the Obama administration came in, unlike many of its predecessors, willing to press Israel publicly and forcefully. And it was ultimately unsuccessful, or only partially successful, in doing so. It pressed Israel. It didn't get quite the concessions that it wanted, and it wound up with a public confrontation. Before the flotilla incident, what the Obama administration had decided to do, therefore, was to repair its relations with Israel, not so much to make for good relations with the Israeli government, but so that it wouldn't be seen as hostile by Israeli public opinion. This flotilla incident came right in the middle of that effort. So the Obama administration's, I think, its first impulse was not to have any public confrontation with the Israeli government.
The Israelis say the blockade is really to prevent arms from being shipped to Hamas militants. Why is it that the Israelis prefer to work with Fatah rather than Hamas, who controls Gaza?
Well, the Israeli position isn't quite clear. They do, most Israelis probably prefer Fatah to Hamas, but for some Israelis, there are some advantages of Hamas. I mean, what Fatah represents is, what it's clearly invested in, is a negotiated two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And Hamas has said that they will never recognize Israel. Now, there may be some in Hamas who would wish to push the organization in a different direction, and there are some within Fatah who are not necessarily convinced right now of the viability of a negotiated two-state solution. But that's where the bulk of the leadership is in most movements. So that makes Fatah basically a negotiating partner for many Israelis. But there are some Israelis, and interestingly, on both the far left and the far right, who say essentially that Fatah is a spent force and is unable to deliver Palestinians. And Hamas, for all its hostility to Israel, is still a strong enough organization that Israel could develop a modus vivendi with Hamas, even if it couldn't negotiate a permanent settlement to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
The Hamas is seen to be hardliners and extreme compared to the Fatahs, who are seen to be moderate and secular. In your opinion, is that perception correct, or it's something created by Western media?
No, I think it's largely correct. I mean, there is a difference in means and there is a difference in ends. I mean, Fatah, as I said, is committed to a two-state solution, and Hamas says that it opposes that kind of solution. So that is a definite difference. There's also a difference in terms of means. Hamas is an acronym for the Islamic Resistance Movement, and this was therefore a movement that was born in, you could say, violent action, or what Palestinians call resistance, to Israel. Fatah has employed that, but is now favoring a negotiated path. Again, there is some overlap between the two, because Fatah certainly in the past has used violence, and Fatah's party platform says that resistance is legitimate against Israel, even if they choose a peaceful path right now. And also, I should say, Hamas has largely held its fire against Israel for quite some time now, with some exceptions, basically since 2005. So that there is a difference between the two organizations, but when you go on a day-to-day basis, sometimes they inch a little bit closer together.
Now, the U.S. and other world powers are reported to say this situation of a blockade in Gaza is not tenable and a new approach has to be found. What could that entail, this new approach?
Well, that depends on who is designing it, and that is the big problem. There is no doubt that the Israeli blockade on Gaza has led to an economic disaster. It has not led to mass starvation because food and essential medical supplies are allowed through. But anything that could allow for normal economic activity is not. And there are still some humanitarian implications in terms of, you know, malnutrition, non-urgent medical supplies, and so forth and so on. So it is a very difficult situation for the people of Gaza. And it is also a siege that was put in place to weaken the Hamas regime, and in fact, it just has not done that. So it has failed as a policy and had tremendous cost to the people of Gaza, far more than to the Hamas movement. But the worry in Israel, and I would say now in the United States as well, is that any effort to ease the blockade would be, Hamas would be able to portray it as a victory, that they were able to obtain material benefits and an Israeli concession in return for not flinching on their fundamental principles. And so that they, in a sense, the Israelis have implemented a policy which doesn't get them what they want, but they don't know exactly how to get out of it. What is therefore most likely, I think, would be a general and quiet easing of the blockade. They will still try to find a system where they can stop certain kinds of material from getting through to Gaza, but it will probably be much less restrictive than it was in the past, and there might even be some international involvement.
Now, apart from committing aid to Gaza and the West Bank, what else should the U.S. be doing to move the peace plan forward?
That's a very difficult question. The impulse of the Obama administration is to sponsor negotiations between the Israeli government and Palestinian leadership in Ramallah, headed by Mahmoud Abbas and the Fatah party. That's their impulse. The problem is those negotiations aren't going very far, and it's also not clear whether Mahmoud Abbas can really speak authoritatively for Palestinians because of the government. The government in Gaza doesn't accept his authority. The alternative path is one that would encourage intra-Palestinian reconciliation, Fatah and Hamas to come back together, perhaps agree to some kind of power-sharing arrangement, and to put off any Israeli-Palestinian negotiations until the Palestinian house is in order. That path has its own problems, because if the Palestinians are supposed to agree on a single path forward, it's not quite clear how easily they could do that, and if they did so, whether it would be one that would make negotiations possible. So that would be a difficult path as well. Ultimately, I think that second path of stressing Palestinian reconciliation is probably more promising, but it still has a considerable amount of risk attached to it.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Professor Nathan Brown, Professor of Political Science and International Affairs at George Washington University. I'm Noelle Lim on Current Affairs, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.